Hi, it's Diane. Tonight I'm going to read you The Father of Santa Claus. I'm reading from. Hi, it's Diane. Tonight I'm going to read you The Father of Santa Claus. I'm reading to you from The Four-Masted Catboat and Other Truthful Tales by Charles Battelle Loomis. The Father of Santa Claus. The successful author dropped in at the club and looked around for someone to whom he might talk shop. He spied the timid aspirant in the corner and asked him to sit down. The timid aspirant blushed all over and felt that better days were dawning for him, because the successful author's name was in everyone's mouth. "Have much trouble to sell your stuff, my boy? Oh, I suppose I oughtn't to complain. Never destroy a manuscript, my boy. You don't, do you?" "Sometimes, sir." "Ah, don't. You never know when it will become valuable. Anything written has its niche somewhere." Then the successful author sank back in his armchair and continued reminiscently, "I'll never forget how one of my articles fared. It was the fourth or fifth thing that I had written, and it was called The Father of Santa Claus. I liked it better than any editor has ever liked anything of mine." The timid aspirant nodded sympathetically, and the successful author continued, "I sent it to the prospect, and it came back promptly. Did I destroy it? Not at all. I pigeonholed it, and next year I sent it to them again. Again it came back, and once more I laid it to rest for a 12-month, and then bombarded the prospect with it. This sort of thing went on for several years, until at last, to save time, the editor had a special form of rejection printed for it that ran about as follows. Dear Sir, the time of year has come once more when we reject your story, The Father of Santa Claus. It would not seem like the sweet Christmas season if we did not have a chance to turn it down. Yours respectfully, Editor, This Prospect. Let you down easy each year, didn't he? Yes. Well, in course of time, my price went up. At the start, I'd have been tickled to death to get $5 for the thing. But now I knew that if the editor ever did change his mind, I'd get at least 50. So I kept at it. Well, it was last year that my collection of stories made such a hit, and since then I've been so busy filling orders for short stories that I forgot to send my dear old Moss back out this year. But day before yesterday I received a note from the editor of The Prospect asking for a Christmas sketch. Now it was my opportunity. I wrote back. Sorry, I haven't anything new, but it struck me that you might like to look at an old thing of mine called The Father of Santa Claus. And if you care to consider its publication, I'll let it go for a couple of hundred, just for the sake of old times. I enclosed the story, and just before coming here, I received a check for $200. What moral do you deduce from this, sir? Don't ever sell anything until you've gotten a big reputation. Do you mind talking a little more shop? Asked the timid aspirant. Somehow he lost his timidity when talking to his renowned friend. Of course not. No one really does, though some affect to. Most talk is shop talk. It may relate to plumbing, or to dry goods, or to painting, or to babies. But it is of the shop shoppy as a rule. Only literary shop talk, as Ford calls it, is more interesting to an outsider than the other kinds. What particular department of our shop did you want me to handle? I wanted to ask you if you believed in cutting a man's work. In other words, do you believe in blue penciling? Ah, my boy, I see that they have been coloring your manuscript with the hateful crayon. No, I don't believe in it. I dislike it now because it mars my work. And I used to hate it because it took money from my purse. Let me tell you a little incident. One time, years ago, I wrote an article, and after it was done, I figured on what I would get for it and with it. If I sold it to a certain monthly I had in mind, I should receive enough to buy a new hat, a new suit, a pair of shoes, ditto of socks, and a necktie, for all of which I stood in sore need. I hied me forth in all the exuberance of youth, and bore my manuscript to the editor. As he was feeling pretty good, he said he'd read it while I waited. At least he laid it down and said, "That's a pretty good story." My heart leaped like an athlete, but my heart stopped leaping and listened. "It will need a little cutting, and I'll do it now if you wish." "Poor fellow," said the timid aspirant sympathetically. Well, the first thing that editor did was to cut the socks off it. Then he made a deep incision in the hat. Then he slashed away at the trousers and did some scattered cutting, and at last handed the manuscript to me that I might see the havoc he had wrought in my prospective wardrobe. Dear man, I had a vest and a necktie left, and that was all. And it would have been the same if it had been a dinner. The timid aspirant shuddered. Many a young author has seen the soup and the vegetables, and at last the steak fade away under the terrible, obliterating power of the indigo crayon. And lucky is he if a sandwich and a glass of water remain after the editor's fell work. Blessed is that editor who does not care to work in pastel, to whom the blue pencil is taboo, for he shall be held in honored remembrance of all writers, and his end shall be peace. Amen, said the timid aspirant. You have just listened to The Father of Santa Claus. Sleep well, my friend.